Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Like, honestly, what ever happened to Tracy Chapman? Was she just a one-hit wonder?
Now we're starting our podcast. Whatever happened.
But whatever happened.
I know no, she
the,
wasn't.
Most of the young people are sitting there going, "Who the fuck is Tracy Chapman?"
Now, because I was listening to a remix of it today. You got a fast car.
Is a fast enough so we can drive away.
You got to make a decision. Which was a great song. It was such a great song. But was she only a one-hit wonder?
No, she had. I know she had something else.
Did she?
Yeah, I don't know.
Then she just disappeared.
I don't know.
It's amazing how you just think about, like, such talent comes and goes and, you know, they're just in and around. But it seems nowadays, like, all of that is gone. That original songwriting, you know, bands and, you know, music from the 80s, it's so electronic now, you know. Even you listen to Triple J, you know, you have these bands that come in and they're just in and out for a short period of time. They're not like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or... You know, so I know some of the young people are going, the Rolling Who? The Bee Who? But they're in and they're out and they're gone. It's so short-lived. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's so short-lived.
Well, some.
Like but who?
Like I mean, you'd definitely be some that are short-lived, but there are others that aren't.
That high-end where, you know, you've got your Jay-Z's and stuff like that, like those guys are at the very top and there's not a lot of those.
Do you know? Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Did you know that Van Halen died the other day?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah. Yeah, cancer, I think it was. But I think it was quite a big alcoholic.
Give me a Van Halen song.
Jump. But you know... Do you know that when he came, when
Jump.
They had four albums before before
that one came out,
before that song went the way it went, and they had four albums beforehand. But I was watching it and I was reading a piece by his son, and his son was saying the thing that he loved about his father when he watched his father play was that whenever his father played, he had this huge smile on his face, and he was one of like he was probably the greatest guitarist of his time. You know, literally. He was an extraordinary guitarist. His brother was on the drums, and then David Lee Roth came in, and he was the singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, but everybody thought it was David Lee Roth, but it wasn't. It was the lead guitarist and the drummer who were Van Halen because their surnames are Van Halen.
There you go.
But see, when he played, he just the thing that I think I saw, and I think everybody saw, and his son brought to the forefront for everybody to pay attention to, was the fact that when he played, if you look at any of his concerts, he's just smiling his head off.
Oh, I haven't seen any of that. I have to look.
He absolutely loved what he did.
Oh, I love that. Hey, that actually ties into what we're talking about today.
Oh, okay. Good.
That's good. That's like
great.
Really
fuck, that's handy, isn't it? Jesus.
That wasn't planned at all, but it does.
Fucking hell.
And I was just thinking how we talk about some random topics on this podcast, but every single time we talk about some random shit at the start of the podcast with these music things and have this little bit of trivia
but
that nobody knew that
you
knew.
I mean, we've probably
divulged
this before. I'm full of fucking useless trivia, let me tell you. Now, I got a bit of hay fever at the moment. Excuse me, so I hope I don't snot on anybody. They've just given me some hay fever.
On any. Well, lucky is
but
no
the
one
best
in
cure
here,
for hay fever, have a guess what it is? It's fucking vitamin C. Stack lots of oranges into you and it tends to knock out your hay fever.
Excellent.
And... there was a vinegar that Shelley Ravel sent me over once, a type of vinegar that had artichoke in it. And Christ, that was good. And I was in a naturopath's office the other day and they had a fucking bottle of it up on the shelf. And I'm like, shit, why have you got
get
that
you some
there?
Of that.
And she goes, oh, because it's a really good, and it's a vinegar for your food. It's a really good cure for hay fever.
Anyway, you're going to say about why we start the podcast this way?
Because have you ever been in, well, we've said it before, but whenever I'm around Renee, she'll come in and she'll wake up in the morning, she'll just come in and sing a couple of lines from a song.
Ice baby.
And then 10 minutes later, I'll be like, and I'll look over at her and I'll go, fuck you, Renee. And she'll be like, I'm in your head. And so when people do that, you remember what they're about to talk about.
There you go.
There's a psychology
behind
it.
That's just a little
bit of genius
there. A bit of method to our madness. Anyway. So what are we talking about today? So you ended up by saying about that he just did what he loved, so he was smiling. So I know you've had a few comments from some of your personal clients about their mission and being on track with their mission, and like some more tips about how to do that and how to feel inspired and stuff like that. So we really wanted to talk about that today.
So
right?
I mean, you have to start by just saying that. You know, it's not about what you do, it's about why you do it. And when people go, oh, you mean my why, I got to follow my fucking why. Like, it was such a clicky thing. And I love Simon Sinek. Like, Simon's great.
I'm just reading his book at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And this whole thing of, oh, you got to follow your why and your fucking why, so, which is true. But people have to understand that your why is to do with what it allows you to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Certain things allow you to feel. I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
Achoo. Oh, nice.
Normally happens in threes. Okay, I think I'm okay. Am I okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Okay, I'm good. You're good.
I'm good because you're over there and you can't sneeze on me.
Be careful because I got a big nose.
Yes, that's true.
What do you mean, yeah, that's true?
Oh, sorry, no. Your nose is amazing. Christ. So just leave
anyway,
it.
Anyway, so I'm just gonna put this snotty tissue in my old coffee thing.
Oh, that's a great visual for everybody. Oh my god!
You should try your lights because your horn works. Right? Try your fucking lights, mate, because your big fucking hooter works.
You're such a professional.
So yeah, so but people have to understand with their why. Your why is really to do. Why is it more of a self-fulfillment feeling? It's to do it that the things that you're doing are allowing you to feel the feelings that are most important to you, that allow you to feel alive, feel awake, feel aware, feel as if you're part of something, feel connected, feel congruent, feel limitless and immortal. You know, that's really what you want to be doing.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter what the fuck you do, as long as you're doing things to give you that. So when you say a why to people, they generally think, oh, it's around my fucking purpose and my job and my career and what it is I'm here to do. It's nothing to do with that. And it's kind of everything to do with it. It's everything you do in every area of your life should be allowing you to access and hack those sensations that you get when you're in flow, when you're in stirred, you know, that selflessness, timelessness, effortlessness, and richness, restless, and rich. You shouldn't be fucking restless, by the way. You should be inspired when you're doing it. But allowing yourself to feel those sensations and everything that you can do in your life to feel those sensations are what's important. So when you're lethargic and tired and fucking unmotivated, and it's because you're not doing things that are energizing you and making you feel powerful on the inside, energized on the inside, awake on the inside, connected on the inside. That's the shit you got to be doing. And that's what your why is. People make this dreadful mistake of feeling, oh, I'm fucking stuck in this career. No, your career, you should be really grateful no matter what the fuck you're doing, whether you're washing dishes and or whether you're wiping arses, it doesn't matter. You, as long as you link your career to the sensations that your career allows you to feel the things that you truly and ultimately want to feel, that's what's important.
Yeah.
The only time people feel disempowered and off track is when they can't see the connection, feel the connection, sense the connection, hear the connection. That's when they feel that they're off track with things.
Yes. So basically, I mean, you know, there's people that we meet at times, especially when we first meet them, that they don't feel inspired about what they're doing or their jobs or where they're at in their lives. What we're saying is, and what you're saying is that the reason that we're not inspired is because we don't realize and we haven't made the connection to how what we're doing is actually helping to fulfill the things that are most important to us and what we value the most.
Well, they feel that between who they are and doing what they love, there's a job.
Mm.
Or they feel between who they are.
That's a barrier in the way to doing what they love.
That's what they think the problem is. So they blame the job.
Yeah.
Rather than taking responsibility and responding differently, using your ability to respond differently to what the fuck you're saying about your job and your career.
Yeah.
Your job and your career is not a barrier between you and your dreams and aspirations. It's actually what's there to enable you. So it's a conduit. Your job and career is a short, your career is a short circuit to you doing what you love. And they're not pissed off because of the job. They're pissed off because they haven't made the emotional, energetic link to it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that then? So what does that entail?
Well, I think...
Firstly, it entails knowing what actually does light you up and what does inspire you and what is your value.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that, then there's no way to link it. So you do need to know what is for what you're linking your job to, if that makes sense.
Right. So blame of the kids, the job, the career, anything is simply an inability to make the link.
Yes.
Right? So that's all blame is. It, because you don't believe you haven't thought of yourself what is necessary to make the link, so you blame the job because you don't want to blame yourself.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the reason you blame something else is because you haven't ultimately got anything nice or empowering to say about yourself.
Yeah.
So therefore, the key is to know what it is that lights you up.
Yes.
And then ask yourself, how is the kids having a family,
having this job,
enabling you, empowering you, start to make the link and keep making the link. Because, and what does it take? It takes like a fucking hour. If it takes 2 hours, wow. So, but it takes an hour or two to stop and actually ask yourself the question, how does this serve me? How does this enable me? How is it helping me to feel this? How is it helping me to feel this? How is it helping me to feel this? What is it giving me? Is it giving me the time? Is it giving me the money? Is it giving me the ability to sit down and do this now? Actually stopping and counting your blessings for having a young family turn up, or having the career, or having the partner, or having the sick father, or having the sick mother, whatever the thing is that you're blaming, that you feel is ripping you off from life, stop and ask yourself, how does that actually get you there?
How is it enabling you?
Yeah.
So what do you have to summon in order to deal with that and to actually allow you to go and live the things that you love?
Because the word enable is inside.
Yeah.
You're able.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So asking yourself, how is this enabling me? How is this making this me able to actually get what I want and feel what I want? Another thing is, like, people forget that we're very visual. We're all senses, right? And we've many senses.
Mm-hmm.
We're all senses. We always talk about the five senses, but there's other senses. There's six senses, seven senses, although there's right up to, I think measurably we have.
See dead people.
Yeah, I see dead people. And I see dead people when I walk out my front door. I got neighbors who are fucking. Anyway, so, but it's about...
You just took my little joke and made it like...
I know, because there's fucking... You got to admit, there's sleeping dead. There's walking dead around us. There's fucking zombies everywhere. You know, check that fucker's pulse, honestly.
Go on.
Oh my God, I just did a big...
These sound effects are so professional on this podcast today. It's so awesome.
So, but it's about also understanding that we're sensory human beings. So you got to feed your senses. Does that make sense? You've got to feed your senses. So people say to me who've done a bit of work with us, like they've done Letting It Go, or they're in STP, or they're personal plan, Mitch, I'm fucking reading my mission statement all the time. And in actual fact, your mission statement is such an important part of what we do in Letting It Go and teaching people that. But also the last thing that we do in Letting It Go, and most people don't do it unless they get a bit of a kicking from me, is going through every area of your life and writing down what it is you're going to want to have, what it is you got to do in order to have that, what it is, who it is you got to be in order to do that, then the legacy of how you want to be remembered. But also on those pages, the most important part is having images. Attaching an image to how you want your life to roll out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't do that, that image will change all of the time. But when you get one fixated image in your fucking visual part of your mind, and you focus on that all the time, and you keep pulling up images of that, you're drawing that towards you all of the time. You must see how you want your life to roll out.
Mm.
And the more you see it, the more you attach to it. And I don't like saying seeing is believing, because beliefs are not lopsided or nonsense. You will start to watch it show up. So now you go from believing in something to knowing, because it starts to appear.
Yeah, because it creates almost like a visceral effect inside of you when you're able to see something, because you can, you bring your, it's like it draws it towards you when you're seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's like when I got to get a new car, or if I got to buy a new boat, or if I got to buy a new property, or if I'm buying another asset, you know, I go on, I find it, and then I just keep fucking, and Angela will say, oh my God, are you on the phone again? I'll take it to the fucking toilet. I'll look it up. I'll get up in the morning. I'll look it up. I'll watch videos.
You're like a one track mind with that outcome. So if it's a car, like because you've just recently got the car, it was like all of the time you're on the phone looking at this car, and then when you decide on which car, you're watching lot because that is attaching you to that environment. The same happened for me when I went to Tomorrowland. Remember. We were trying to get to Tomorrowland. We couldn't get tickets.
Who cares about the fact that
I know, you're just jealous because I went.
Fucking care. Fucking Tomorrowland. Fucking honestly, teeny bopper.
Anyway, I remember you saying to me, oh, we'll go next year. But in my mind, I knew I was going to go that year. Yeah. And every single day, I was listening to
how many E's did you have Tomorrowland?
every single day.
How many E's
did you? I'm not. I'm in the middle of telling a story. Anyway, now you've made me lose track.
You just put four fingers up.
You made me lose track. Oh, yeah. So every day I would watch the after party of the year before to go and watch, to bring myself there, to visually allow myself to be there before I had to be there. Just quick funny story. I was walking out of Tomorrowland one of the nights. I think it was the second night. Yeah. And you know how everybody's milling around after the festival I'm walking out. And there was a girl walking beside me on her own, and I said to her, how was your day? And she just looked and she goes, oh, the E's are so good. Anyway,
it's good shit, boss.
The whole visualization thing is really about just taking yourself there. Like, it's like getting your cells to experience it in a way without you having to be there, so that your cells, it comes ingrained in your cells, like it becomes truth to your cells almost. Yeah.
Well, because, you know, there's the glial cells vibrate when we're congruent with what's important to us. So, for example, when you're drawn to eat, when you get fucking hungry, every cell in your body is drawn to eat. You want to fucking eat, right?
Mm.
Okay. Because if you do that, you survive and you live longer.
Yeah.
You're drawn to sleep. When you're fucked and you're tired, you're drawn to go to bed because you know if you sleep and rest, you're going to live longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same with your fucking mission and your dreams and what it is you're here to do. If you're drawn to your dreams and you move towards your dreams, you're going to live longer.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense? If you're purposeful, you're going to live longer because your health and vitality is fucking up.
Well, this is not something we just made up last Wednesday. This happens in the cells of your body.
Yeah.
So the more evolved cells, like the primitive cells in the body, are cells that are there's many of them.
They reproduce.
Reproduce quicker. They have a quicker mortality rate. Yeah. But they have many purposes.
Yeah.
The more evolved cells of the body have a more specific purpose. Right. They last longer, lesser mortality rate, lesser reproduction rate, but they last longer, they live longer.
Yeah.
So the same goes for a human being. The more purposeful you are, the more drive, the more vision you have, and the attaching images to that helps you to perpetuate that further. But the more purposeful you are, the more you live longer, not just in your lifetime, but past your lifetime. You have a vision that's past your lifetime as well, right? So,
any of the greats, the reason we call people superstars, and any of the greats
like me, go on.
I said, anyway, the reason we have those people, right, and we look up to them and we admire them is because they had a vision that was beyond their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't equate death with stopping.
Alanis Morissette line.
Yeah. So, but they had a vision that is beyond their lifetime. So they had an immortal view of their reality because it extended their longevity of vitality while they were alive.
Yes.
And they understood that. They got that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if that's an ancient piece of wisdom, you have to understand that people who have, you know, a long vision for their lives. It's not everybody, you know, it's not everybody, but people who want to make a difference in the world tend to eat well, they tend to sleep, they tend to make sure that they're doing, you know, things that are going to energize them and allow them to have the full experience when they're doing what they love.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you, well, that when you go and get on the beers and then the next day, you know you're getting to that point where you need to stop drinking, but you don't, you keep going, or you're eating shitty food, you know the next day you're going to be low energy and then you feel guilty because you're not there for the kids. Mm-hmm. So, but when you're energized and, you know, you're doing things in moderation, you know the next day you're going to have more energy because so you can be there to connect with the things that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. But that also is related to the, I think it's the telomeres on the cells, that when you're doing what you love, they elongate and lengthen and they give you more vitality. So what ages you...
Well, telomeres are connected with... immortality.
Yeah, so what ages you is the shortening of those telomeres, right? So you look older, you look your cells are when they're shrinking up, when the telomeres reduce, you age physically. So the more that you can be on purpose, the more the visual effects even of aging start to decrease because of the fact that you're living more on purpose. So this whole concept of living on purpose and being clear with what that outcome is, you've been telling people recently to make sure that they're attaching a visual to that outcome.
Yeah.
Because that visual, like I knew when I was back in when I was teaching, I used to have a mate of mine who went to the Sydney Olympics.
Yeah.
And she went there because she was she did shooting.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what categories she was in shooting, but
so she wasn't an archer.
No.
She was a riflist.
Yeah, she was in with rifle, but there was a few different categories that she was in.
Right,
but
okay.
You know, when they're lying down, was it prone?
Marksman.
I don't know. Yeah, anyway. Okay. But one of the ways that they trained is that and there were studies done that the visualizing it was just as important as doing the actual physical training of shooting. They had to visualize themselves actually hitting the target, visualize their position, visualize all of this stuff, because that helped them to be more effective as well.
Right.
You know, so this whole visualization thing, it's not something that is like, you know, this is lots of people, like there's been studies done to show that even just visualizing playing the piano or visualizing, you know, exercising or whatever actually improves and more than people who didn't visualize doing that, right?
Right.
So basically you've been saying to people that they have to visualize it because that helps to bring it into their sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to see. You're drawn towards things that you see.
Yes.
You know, you're drawn towards it because, like, when you see a beautiful woman, you're aesthetically drawn towards her, a beautiful guy. You're aesthetically drawn towards that. So the more beauty you have visually in front of you, the more you're drawn towards it, and the more you draw things to help you bridge the gap between where you are and experiencing being with that person or being in connection with whatever's bringing the vitality of what it is you want to feel.
Yeah. So were you saying that some of them are feeling a little bit lost lost about that? Like,
I think what's happening is when you read your mission statement over and over, repetition lulls the brain to sleep, right?
Yeah. So if you're not, you've got to be moving. You've got to be doing things.
You've got to be involved in what you're creating and in your mission and your vision. You've got to be involved in that stuff. Yeah. If you're not involved in it, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So be involved in what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I have in front of me here the accountability planner. The accountability planner.
Shameless plug.
The accountability planner pulls you into your life.
Yeah.
You physically, you know, there's drawing exercises in there. There's things that get you, you know, pull you towards what is important to you.
Yeah.
That's why it's so fucking good, you know, because it does that. And anything that draws you towards feeling fulfilled is absolutely vital.
So another thing that I love is particularly in relation to mission statement is attaching audio to it as well, like listening to certain things that are inspiring while you're or I know Dean Martini talks about it, but if you have listened to any particular songs that have resonated with you over the years, sometimes it's the music that resonates and sometimes it's the lyrics. And if the lyrics really pull at you, he suggests that you take them and you pop them into your mission statement because they're calling you and speaking to some part of you in some way, right? And for me, music really does that. Mm-hmm. And listening to my mission statement or having uplifting audio as well helps with that because audio is, to me anyway, it's a very there's just something about having – like the audio that's uplifting and that like I have a playlist for me of inspiring songs, you know, things that I use over time that I know that if I'm ever feeling like I need a little bit of inspiration, I'll listen to this playlist because it just they're uplifting types of songs because they bring you there, right? So another thing that I like with the mission statement is incorporating either the lyrics of certain things or the music.
Yeah,
there's a great there's a song I used to use whenever the kids were graduating or moving on from one thing to another that I always used to put on their PowerPoint presentations, and it was by a woman named Leanne Womack.
Right. It's from a country song.
No, and it was a country song, and it's called "I Hope You Dance."
Oh, right.
And I loved it because the line is, you know, when you get a chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance, and it's about like participating in life. That to me really speaks to me. So that sort of those sorts of lyrics, I think, including them in there helps as well.
Cool. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.